Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our ability to hear, to understand. Holy Spirit, would you help us to dissect the word this morning, that it would be profitable for us. Lord God, that we would understand your message to us this morning. And Lord, I ask, help me to deliver. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good. So we are continuing part four. Gear change, and I trust you're ready for a gear change. If you turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation, please. And if you go to the back of the book, you know what? We win. Yeah, so chapter 3, and I'm going to read that first, and then we're going to get on, and I'm going to come back to it again. So we're reading from verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works or your deeds. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. And we're going to stop there. I have opened a door before you that no one is able to shut. And so this morning, we want to look and just first of all, let's have a quick look where we've been. So we started off with finding your rhythm, and we looked at those five wonderful things that helped us find our rhythm, because we don't want to turn over a new leaf. We want to turn over a new life. There we go. Someone's been listening. Work with me. Come on. The second thing we looked at, Kevin helped us see God first. We put God first in everything. We put God first in prayer, word, worship, fellowship, and Lordship, and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No point knowing Jesus just as your friend and your buddy. He is not only just our Savior, He is our Lord and Master. And then last week, am I there? Yeah. Last week we looked at rhythm breakers, and we looked at some of the things that help break the rhythm. Because all we want to do is we want to add to our lives, and we're already saying, my life is so busy you don't understand, and now you're telling me add to it. No, no. Rhythm breakers are the things that we needed to eliminate from our life. And we went through and we looked at some of that. And so again, I just sense again that we are standing at crossroads, and we want to see where we're going and what it is that God has for us, and that we don't break our rhythm, that we set our rhythm, that we are able to change gear. Having set our course, that we take the right roads, that we don't change roads and go off course all the time, that we stay on course. And I know this morning that some of you, although having set your course, you know, have you heard that expression, you just know in your knower? K-N-O-W-E-R, not N-O-A-H. In your knower, deep down inside. You're not living the life that you should be living or ought to be living. You're not living the life that God has called you to live. And sometimes we compare it, you know, just have a look at the 401, you know. BC's got the mountains, we got the 401. Woohoo, yay. Not so much fun, eh? But compare this to you're driving along, if you know stick shift, you're driving along in third and you just know, if I get into fifth, man, this car is going to go. But somehow you just, I want to help you this morning to shift into fifth gear. And so that you're moving forward. And also, we started off with God's opened the door for us that no one can shut. So it's helpful if I give you the title, eh? This morning, we're going to talk about the door at the end of the road. The door at the end of the road. And again, we look again at where we started, Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful picture? It doesn't matter what curves the enemy throws at you. It doesn't matter what life throws at you. And I know sometimes we like to blame the devil for everything. But most of the time, it's not got nothing to do with the devil. It's actually bad choices that we make. And then when we hit a bump in the road, or we end up, if you just picture with me the 401, I know that doesn't look like the 401, but you actually go and you take a little detour. And the Lord hasn't said take the detour. And I'm getting so excited, I've missed probably two pages in my notes to get there, but let's go back. And then we looked at this Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I had a young guy in South Africa came to me and he said, Mark, please pray for me. I think I should go to England. But I'm not sure. I want you to pray with me. And what the door God shuts, I won't walk through. And the door that God opens, I'll walk through. Are you sure about this? He said, yeah. He said, okay, let's pray. His name was Tim. He said, Lord, you know Tim's heart. Father, we ask, if it is your will for him to go to England, we ask, open the door, make it easy. Lord, if not, shut the door that it won't open. He got mad with me and he left the church. You know why? Because the next day I got a notification that his visa had been denied. I said, dude, you said you wanted God to shut the door. You shut the door. What more do you want? And so we need to understand that he opens doors for us. Here he says, the doors that he opens, no man can shut. So we either walk through that door or we don't. And sometimes we get excited about the journey. Can I tell you a scary truth about me? So we were excited. I know Bridget's freaking out already. We were excited because we were doing church planters and we were sure in our hearts that we had a call to come to Canada. And people would say, and we'd go and we did 14 churches in 3 months or something like that. And we did this church planters and we were so excited. And everyone that says, so where are you going? We said, we're going to Canada. You know, we were like, actually quite stupid at the time about it, but we were sure God. And then I got a letter of invitation to come. Now it's getting real. And I called up a dear friend of mine. I said, we're going to Canada, but now we've got this letter of invitation to actually go. What do you think? You know, sometimes friends are good because they just tell you the truth. And he said, Mark, if you don't walk through this door, you'll never walk through any door. I said, thanks, you're really helpful. Well, we're here, aren't we? And sometimes we just got to take it. And when God says the door is open, then we don't go and say, well, okay, let me just shut it for you, God. And then he goes on, and he says, and he's writing to the church in Philadelphia who'd been faithful under trial. And he was saying, I'm giving you this blessing. I'm giving you favor. And that's what he's doing with us. We are children of a new covenant and he's giving us favor and blessing. And we just have to take hold of it. And we just have to walk in it. And we just have to accept it. And all we do, but sometimes we're going to go, no, we're just going to shut that door. And, you know, it's not so happy for us to walk through that door. And then he goes on, he says, I know your deeds. Kevin said, Sala, let's stop and pause there a little bit. I know your deeds. He knows everything about you and me. He knows what you're thinking right now. You know that secret that you think no one knows about? It's not a secret. Because he knows. It's not meant to be a heavy, this is meant to help you. Because he knows. He says, I know your deeds. And then he goes on and he says, I've placed before you an open door. Even in all of this, even when he knows our failings and our faults and our mess-ups and our hearts. And Mark, just hurry up and get this over because we want to go to lunch. He knows your deeds. He knows your thoughts. He's saying, I'm giving you an opportunity. Here's a door. Walk through it. Walk through this door that I'm opening for you. So we want to look at the door at the end of the road. And Ephesians 5:17 says, look carefully then how you walk. Some version says live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And I know, so you go, well, I don't know. I'm not sure what the will of God is. But he's saying, be careful how you live. Be careful the decisions you make. Be careful the things that you say. Be careful what jumps out of your mouth and you go, oh man, I wish I hadn't said that. Be careful, live wisely. I want to give you a little hot tip. You want to learn to live wisely? Do yourself a favor. Go to the book of Proverbs, and there's 31 Proverbs, and read one each day. A chapter of Proverbs every day. Walk with the wise if you want to be wise. Stay away from the foolishness. Don't live foolishly, throwing away opportunities that God is placing before you. He's opened the door. If He's opened the door, He's not going to shut the door. And that's how sometimes we think. He's giving me opportunity as I get to walk through the door. Bang! I see He's not a fair God. He shut the door on me. No, He already opened that door. And all we have to do is take a little bit of chutzpah and we've got to walk through the door. We've got to live according to God's will. I know some of you say, well, I don't know what God's will is, and I've said many times, if you don't know anything else, let me tell you God's will for your life. The God's will for your life is Jesus. Well, I was thinking something more deeper than that. That is as deep as it gets. Jesus. Jesus is the will for your life. Jesus is the door opener. Jesus is the one who can take you from A to B. God is saying the door's opened. I've walked through it. But some of us, we like, you know, that pinball machine. I know some of the younger people won't know what I'm talking about. Remember the song, The Who, the group Who, Tommy? Ever since as a young boy, I played the silver ball from Soho down to Brown. Okay, stop. Woo. Yeah, I know. I had a life before I was a minister. No, I know. Oh, my word. He's opened the door that no man can shut. Something we need to understand. And today I want to have a little bit. We're going to look at some theology, and then we're going to look at some practical stuff to do with the whole thing and how the theology helps us to do the practical stuff. So we want to look at making the right choices. So there's two wills we have to make a right choice about. The first one is the moral will of God. So, well, what's the moral will of God? I'm so glad you asked. What God has said in His Word. Whatever it is He said in His Word is the moral will of God. How He's told us, how we should live, how we shouldn't live, what we should do. We have this bestseller. It's called the Bible. It helps us. It's our perfect guide to God's moral will. The Holy Spirit is continually speaking to us because the Bible promises us that He will guide us and lead us into all truth. Well, was it the Holy Spirit or was it just me? Well, you need to work out that and find that out. Every command, every guideline, every direction He gives us, listen carefully, is for our good, not for His good. But He is a good God. He wants us to live, and He wants us to be directed by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to live in His moral will. But some of us want to go, well, you know, there's some degree of sin. I'm not that bad. There is no worst sin. Sin is poor. Sin is corrupt. Sin is bad. Pick a name, put it to it, add the morals to it. They are all the same. It's the same. They are not God's moral will. So understanding what God's will is what He said in His Word. The second thing is the sovereign will of God. And the sovereign will is all that God is doing here on this earth. It's all that God is doing. God's sovereign will is what God is up to. And that's why we are so fastidious. We are so bent on partnering with God, not partnering with us. You know, we think is a good idea. We don't want good ideas. We want God ideas. Ideas that we're going to look to and we're going to go, that, God's in that. God is showing us that way. We're going to move in that. Thank you. We must line ourselves up with what God is doing for His plan for our lives. When we serve Him, when we understand His sovereign will for our lives, then we don't go, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do because, you know, I just want to enjoy life. Some people be a little bit freaked out when I tell them when I was a sinner, I enjoyed life. I had fun. But I was lost. Badly lost. I needed a Savior. I needed the Lordship of Jesus Christ so that I could live better. Live in the abundant life that He has for me. I just wanted to walk my joy. We have to understand, we are warriors on a mission. We are armed with the Word of God. We are armed with the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We are armed with the gospel of God's sovereign will, God's good moral will, God helping us to move through everything we have. The Bible says it's good for rebuking, for correction, and for encouragement. We just scratch that piece out because we don't, because you're messing with my life. I was just talking to my brother recently, and some of you came and you heard his testimony, him and his wife. And so I was just talking to him, and I know for a number of years I was ashamed of my brother. I'll just be honest with you. And when I got over myself, and I started to call on the Lord for him. And sometimes, and I did it here in this church, as you well know, well, if you remember, and in South Africa, sometimes in prayer meeting, I would just get up and tears would be running down my face, and I would, in a loud, strong voice, call unto God for him to be saved, to come back to the Lord, to serve the Lord. And I didn't care who was around me because I wanted to see my brother saved and in the kingdom. And so I was just sharing with this him, and he says, you know, now I don't want to make something that wasn't there. He says, through the years, when he was living this way, there were times, this is just the power of prayer, times that he would just be at home and all of a sudden this thing would come upon him and he would start to weep and cry and he would shout in the house, "Stop it, Mark! Stop it, Mark! Stop it, Mark!" And I was like, "What?" And he said, "I don't know, but that thing would come on me." I said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe those were the times that I was praying for you." And I wanted to encourage you, the power of prayer. If you have family members that are lost, do not give up on praying for them. You might not see. I mean, it took a long, long time. What you missed out, what my sister-in-law didn't tell you, that on the August the 6th, every single year, she would go away to that retreat and she would fast and pray for a day for 17 years. Until my brother came back. We understand the moral will of God and the sovereign will of God is the third thing that will help us. The more I know the moral will of God and the sovereign will of God, the more they will lead me to find God's will for my life. You don't need to convince me of this. You know when you are miserable. You know when you are stuck in gear and you don't know how to, although you want to change gear, you don't know how to do it, you might not have an understanding how you get it. You might even get to be standing at the doorway, but you keep hitting the door jamb, like that pinball machine. And you're wanting to walk through the door, but something is holding you back. You just can't get there. God has an amazing plan for your life. And I can shepherd, the pastors here, the elders can shepherd you back to that road trip that you're meant to be on to make the right gear change. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. It says a little bit nicer in NIV, it's that you saw me, and in your book is written your plans for me, basically, for every day. God's plan for your life hasn't changed. God hasn't decided, oh, there we go, they're off on a detour. You know what? I wrote a few chapters in my palm. No, I didn't. I wrote a few chapters in my plan that God didn't account on. Well, he knew about, but, oh, no, I'm going to do this, I'm going to write. But you know, he gently just kept wooing me and calling me and bringing people and scripture and things and events across my path until I actually got it again. He knows. It's not like, oh, wow, they've messed up again. Let's just cross that out. I'm going to make a new plan for his life. No, he only has one plan for your life. And it's a good plan. And it's a helpful plan. He says, I've opened a door that no man can shut. And that means you too. You can't shut it. I tried to shut many doors that God had opened for me. But somewhere along the line, on this journey, oh, there's the door. It's open again. It's the same door. I thought I left it behind. Do you experience that sometimes? Where you think you've dealt with an issue. Well, I'm not doing your way, God. I'm doing my own way. And then somebody comes along and you just see that same door and you go, I thought I dealt with this door. But God's saying, this is the door for you. Come on, walk through it. You know deep down inside that your life is not the way you should be living it. Perhaps you don't like the direction you're going in. God loves you so much. He wants to see your road trip change. He wants to set you back on the right course. Do you know the more that you sin, the more He calls to you? The more you sin, the more He calls to you. He's not like, I just give up on you, God, and that's it. Well, I'm just giving up on that person. You don't believe me? Okay. And we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purposes. We quote that so glibly. Have we taken Selah, pause? Have we gone and thought about it? Have we actually, what does that actually mean for me? What does that help for me? Where does that take me? So I want us to get back on track. God's calling you to be back on track. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The more we sin, the more He calls. Grace abounds to us. The more bad decisions we make, the more bad choices we make, grace abounds to us. And I know some might be going, well, if that's the case, but He's saying He's not waiting for you to clean up. Some of you still can't believe that this news is so good. Because others, sometimes you think, well, if that's the case then in the end we win. So I'm just going to let rip and I'm just going to party and I'm just going to live like that. No, that's not what it says. Because you've heard me many times say, grace teaches us to say no to sin. Doesn't help us to just move along and do what we think we want to do. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin? Oh, see, it's in the Bible. That grace may abound. By no means, how can we who die to sin still live in it? I've told you the story before, but it just popped into my head. For those of you who've never heard it, a guy that we know was preaching, and he gave a call for people to come to salvation, and a young guy walked up and stood in front of it like this. They looked at him and said, what do you want? He said, well, tried drugs, tried sex, tried rock and roll, you know, the normal. So I thought I'd just try Jesus. He said, go sit down. Now I know you're all freaking out. There's a guy coming to salvation and he's telling him to go sit down. And he walked away, left him. He was like, oh. Walked on, prayed with people, prayed, came back. He says, oh, you're still standing here, what do you want? Yeah, well, you know, I thought I'd just try Jesus. Go and sit down. You're not ready. And he left him there. They nearly came to the end of the meeting, and the guy was still standing there. But by now, the whole pose and the attitude had changed. Whether he swallowed or got rid of the gum, we don't know. But he had his head down, and tears were falling down his eyes. And he says, please, I need Jesus. He says, you're ready now. And sometimes we think, you know, well, if you say the prayer and you say the sinner's prayer, then you're saved. Scripture says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Because we have the ability and the power to say no to sin, but we keep going there. We keep, you know, here, hallelujah, and here, strange behavior. And we say no, we go for it. This is what the book of Isaiah says. This is how he says it. He says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. We've got to be attentive to listening for that word. We don't want to make a bad choice. Stop. There's a word in your ear. And it's talking to you and it's saying to you, walk this way. If don't turn to the left or turn to the right or go here, go there, go this way, do it. I'm encouraging this morning. I'm wanting us to make some serious choices. I trust that none of you are hearing behind you a big grumpy old man with a big stick ready to hit you because you've made a mistake. That's not our Father God in heaven. He is loving. He is standing there and He's going, come on home. Come on home. Come home, my son. Come home, my daughter. I've opened the door for you. I've made a way for you. I've said you come in, that you can take the right road. I love you. I sent my son for you. The idea that he's a big angry God with a stick to beat us at every opportunity is bad, bad Bible teaching. Erase out of your memory. Get rid of it. It's not right. What we want to do is we're going to take the right road. So how are we going to do that practically? First question, what am I doing that I should not be doing? What am I doing that I should not be doing? You must have your own self-response because you all be different. Where have I violated the moral will of God? In some areas you might be doing that. You might be asking, where did I leave the road? Where did I get onto the detour? How did I hit this bump in the road that took me so off course? You know what I'm talking about. I can list a whole bunch of stuff, but I think that's pointless because then it's just another list of stuff. I want Holy Spirit to be speaking to your hearts right now. I love the Word of God. What I even like, because of the way I'm motivated, is when there are imperative positive truths. What do you mean by that, Mark? Well, I mean like, if you feel like it, you don't have to conform to this world. No, this is an imperative positive truth. Do not be conformed to this world. Oh, okay, I get it. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God's will, not your will, not what's perfect and acceptable to you, but what is His will for your life that is perfect and acceptable to Him. And that's why we get to lay down our life. Well, I've got my own life. I can do what I like. This is my body. I can do what I like with it. If you love Jesus and you are saved, those statements are oxymoronic in their being. Because we are not ourselves, we do not get to make the choices because we are bought at a price. He took me off, that's what redemption is, He took me off the slave block where I was chained and He purchased me with His blood and His life. And all I can do, and I've often, and I'm sure most of you have, how do I say thank you to that? Thank you? Sort of doesn't cut it. I think the best way we can do is if we take Romans 12, 1 and 2 and we just live that. I think that's saying thank you. That's actually, I don't want to be transformed. I want to renew my mind, Lord. I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to serve you, Jesus. I want Jesus. I want God to be first. I want Jesus to be first. I want Holy Spirit to be first. I know it's Trinity. I'm just saying it so we all get it together. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder, Selah, think about, stop for a while, the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Don't go in that direction. Go, We're smart. No, come a Christian and check your brains at the door. No. Renew my mind. I didn't say take away my mind. And that's an act that we do. Renew our mind. It says renew your mind. well, my soul can be renewed, my spirit is renewed, but we get to renew this. And that's why, if you've been here for a while, I'll tell you that this is the devil's playground. He puts thoughts and stuff, and that's why we did the whole series on eradicating the minefields or something like that. Getting rid of their minefields. It's because the enemy comes and says, you're not smart enough, you're not bright enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not tall enough, you're not short enough, you're not this enough, you're not that enough. And we like guppies. And we've got to learn to say, no, I am a king's kid. I'm walking on a highway. I have favor. I have an open door before me. I'm so excited to be on this road. I can't wait to walk through that door. Number two, what am I not doing that I should be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? We should be paying attention to Scripture. We should be, whenever we see Jesus or the apostles pray a prayer, we should pay attention to that, because if it was important for Jesus' prayers to be written down, then those are important for us to read and pray and understand and take hold of. They're not there to titillate our fantasies. They're there because they're important. And when we take hold of them, we understand, let your will in heaven be done on earth. Your sovereign will be done on earth, Lord God. James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. When your conscience pricks you and you're going to hit that enter button on the computer, and your conscience pricks you, you go, or you're texting wrong people, or you're calling wrong people, today's probably a good day to remind you that if you cheat on your taxes, it's sin. Just saying. In law, you're found guilty by association. You know, in earthly law. I wasn't there. I didn't do anything. Did you observe? Did you watch? Yeah, you're guilty. If we know to do the right thing and we don't do the right thing, then to us it's sin. I'm astounded how many things you see that people just stand. I mean, we're just coughing. Somebody put on Facebook a clip of a pastor. And maybe some of you saw it. And he was preaching to a bunch of teenagers. And he walks up to, it's some foreign country. And they underline and they say, getting rid of the demon in this teenage girl. And he walks up to her, this grown man. I couldn't even watch it. And he slaps her. And then he tells the rest of the class. And then he slaps her again. And he beat this young girl. Slap, 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 slap. And everyone just stood and watched. I was like, where on earth do you get that from? It disturbed me. Me, I want to get in my car and go and find him. But he was in another foreign country. I was broken. It went on and on and on, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore. Stop. And people were like, this is when you've checked your brains at the door. You know the little button on the Facebook called like? Like. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm going to write and tell Zuckerberg he's got to put in an unlock, double unlock button. Because I'm like, I don't know, the point I was making, you're guilty by association. We can't watch people being abused and mistreated, etc., and just walk by and go, oh, okay. I don't want to get involved. It's the cry of the modern day. When you know it's wrong, and you continue to do it, we, you, us, we are sinning. And sometimes we try and compromise and make ourselves feel better. Well, I'm not a murderer or adulterer, you know, really. No, sin is sin. Sin is sin. Let me move on, because I don't want this to be a heavy. 1 Peter 4:2, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. You want to say that of yourself today? Whatever it is, I'm going to cut it out. I don't want to do that. Powerful prayer. Lord, I want to do your will and mean it in our hearts. And of course, the last practical thing for today. Do it today. Well, I'll just go and we're going to have lunch, and when I get home this afternoon, I'll shut myself in the closet and then I'll pray and I'll speak to God. No, just do it now. Do it today. Don't waste time or procrastinate. God has been speaking to you perhaps over the years, months, weeks, days, last half an hour. That He's speaking to you. In Corinthians 5, it says that we should actually expel the moral brother so that his flesh would die, but that his soul would be saved. We don't want to do that stuff. No, we do. It's Bible. For He says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's stand together. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to think, but I do want us to confess. I do want us to change into fifth gear. I do want to see us moving forward. And if you feel in your heart that someone has spoken to me today, Mark, in some areas of my life I've taken the wrong road. And I know there's an open door waiting for me to walk through it. I'm off path. And perhaps you might even feel I've gone so far that I don't even know in direction anymore. I know it's supposed to be a somber moment, but that happened to us when we came to Canada. We'd have to call friends and say, I'm in Kennedy Road. I don't know. They're telling me go east or west and north and south. I said, I don't know where I am. Well, can you see the lake? Yeah, it's on that side of me. Okay, that means you're facing south. Yeah. And whatever. And some of you might feel like that today. You've gone so far off track. You've hit so many bumps in the road. And man, maybe you're not even in third gear. You're in second gear. You say, I want to do it today. I don't wait till I go home. Just where are you standing? You know, it says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. I don't want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you what it is. Just raise your hand if this is spoken to you. I see that hand. I see those hands. Yeah, good. I see your hands. Good. So let's pray. You can put your hands down. Say, Jesus, thank you for the right road and for the right door that you've placed before me. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given me this favorable opportunity. Father, I ask that you will lead me, Holy Spirit, guide me back to the road. I want to take a right road, Lord God. I want to be able to stand and look and see and take the right road and find that at the end of it, Lord God, when I walk through the door, there's rest for my soul. Father, I'm tired of doing things my way. Lord God, I want to do them your way. I want to come under your will, Lord, your moral will, your sovereign will, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord God, and change my direction. Lord God, I'm coming back to you today. Just pray with me as we pray this. Lord God, I'm coming back to you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you've written the final chapter for me. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a door opener. You're a God-given opportunity. You give us opportunity time after time, Lord. Father, I want to get rid of those things that I'm not supposed to be doing, Lord, and I want to do what I am supposed to be doing. I want to understand your word more. Holy Spirit, when I read your word, would you speak to me? Would you download? Would you give me revelation and understanding? And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you.